And damn technology. Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, and motherfucking moan. Dig in your heels and hold on tight. You can shove your opinion up your ass. That way Obama's cock has something to keep it company. Either you are wrong or I am right. Don't forget, the ever-present and the most likely third possibility, you are wrong and I am right. Greetings, my minions. It is I, Great One himself, founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society. We're on the internet at CYNLIBSOC.com. And this right here, this is the Stating the Obvious podcast, the weapons platform from which I launch the cruise missile of my intellect. It zooms in on and destroys stupid motherfuckers all around the world. And there are stupid motherfuckers all around the world. I mean, they're concentrated in certain areas, such as Washington, D.C., London, Moscow, New York, Los Angeles. They're concentrated in certain areas, but there are stupid motherfuckers everywhere. Can't go anywhere without running into stupid motherfuckers. There's weird shit going on in my world right now. A lot of really weird shit. One thing you may notice as this podcast goes forward, you may notice a lack of TikToking. This is because my clock that you're all familiar with, the clock in the background that I know drives some people crazy, because there's a commenter on YouTube who listens to many of my videos on YouTube, and he left a comment about, hey, can you stop the clock because it gets really annoying? And I said, no, it's part of my shtick. I can't stop having the clock in the podcast. Not too long after that, the clock stopped working. So I think he might have some sort of psychic powers or something. He reached out with the power of his mind and stopped the clock. If only we could turn back time. But don't worry, it'll be back. I'm going to fix it. I know somebody who fixes clocks. Whoo, we're off to a good start. I know somebody who fixes clocks, and in fact, I know a little bit about fixing clocks myself. It probably just needs oiling, which if you have a wind-up clock, it needs to be oiled periodically. If you have not ever oiled your wind-up clock, your grandfather clock, your chiming clock, your pendulum clock, if it's never been oiled, then at some point it's going to die and you're going to be unhappy. It needs to be oiled on a regular basis. Regular being, I forget what my friend says it should be, but something like every 5 years or so, you need to have it oiled. And it's definitely been, well, no, not 5 years actually, but it's been at least three that I've had this clock, probably close to four. Anyway, the email address, if you want to contact us here at Stating the Obvious, is Scod, that's dog spelled backwards, God, at CYNLIBSOC.com. And over there in the control room is the lovely and adorable Randy. It's a nice day here in the People's Republic of Fort Collins, Colorado. A little bit windy, but sunny. So not too bad all in all. We're on the verge of spring. Spring is coming. The girls are starting to wear short skirts and short shorts and bikinis. So that's the important thing, is the college girls are starting to get naked. And soon classes will end and the college kids, at least the majority of them, a bulk of them, will go away for the summer. And we'll have some peace and fucking quiet. Weird shit going on in my life. Where's some hand lotion? Got a phone call the other day and a voicemail, and I go and listen to the voicemail, and it's this guy that I was in the military with back in the day, you know, back when he had to walk uphill and all that other shit. And he's like, yeah, hey, this is me. If you're the person I think you are, we served together in the mountain. And yeah, give me a call anytime, and here's my number. I haven't called him back yet, partially because I've been busy, but also partially just because I'm wondering, what in fuck's name does this guy want? Because this guy was a scumbag. This guy was one of the worst human beings I dealt with in the military. And I dealt with some pretty shitty people in the military. I served with a significant number of people who were there because they had that option, either go to jail or go to the military, which should give you a good indicator of, you know, the quality of the military that we're all supposed to be so proud of and that is fighting for our freedom. When you consider that, I'm like, in my unit, it's pretty safe to say that somewhere around 30% of the people in my unit were there because it was either go to prison or go to the military. It's just a little something to think about. I got the phone call from him, and it's just weird. I'm wondering what the fuck is going on, because I'm pretty sure he's not calling me up to offer me money. Anybody who calls and wants to give me money, that's cool. Just like yesterday, I got a phone call from a girl who I knew for a while, and obviously I still know her. But anyhow, we hung out for a while, and then we didn't hang out for a long time. We got this call out of the blue from her wanting to know if she could buy me lunch. And by the time I called her back, she was out of town, but she turned around and she came back and she bought me Din Din and we chit-chatted and stuff. Yeah, so that was strange. That was different and unique. I'm not complaining, though. She's pretty cute, so I'm not going to complain. Hang on a second. I got to do something. Getting distracted. All right, that is insignificant. Fucking technology. You know what I hate more than Google Plus? Pretty much nothing. So let's talk about stuff. I got a list here. We'll see how this goes. I just want to talk about some random stuff. This is should be coming out right after an anarchy moment where I talked about how the broken window fallacy is not a fallacy if you're the person who replaces the broken windows. That came from a conversation I had at the theater. And I'm going to actually, before I forget, let me do this, then I'll come back to theater conversations. Talking about communication, and this will come back up when I talk about the theater conversations. I listened to a couple of Stefan Molyneux's call-in shows today. And at one point, he was talking about communication and how in this instance, he was talking about this, and in a previous instance, he talked about something similar. And I'm gonna mesh all of this together. But Stefan has talked about how people, especially like in his debate that I recently listened to, it's quite old now, but where he debated with the Zeitgeist idiot, and the Zeitgeist idiot was using all these weird words and phrases that nobody actually knows what the fuck they mean, and in a post-analysis of that, Stefan was talking about how if you're going to talk about philosophy, instead of using all these words, you need to use words people can understand, right? And then today he talked about how, you know, the ancient philosophers didn't use words like metaphysics and epistemology and all this other shit. They speak in the language of the common people. They speak in the language of the people they're trying to reach. And I completely agree with this. I'm pretty sure I've addressed this before. I just want to talk about it some more because that's what I do. And again, this will come up when I get to the theater story. But whenever you hear philosophers or people who want to be philosophers or just people in general talking shit about things they don't understand or don't want you to understand, you'll notice that people use terms with obscure meanings. They use words that you don't really understand what they mean or what they are. And this is done for a very deliberate reason. I mean, partially it's done because people are trying to make themselves sound smarter than they are. Right? I can use the word epistemology in a sentence. Therefore, I must be smarter than you are. This isn't true. In fact, if anything, you're less intelligent than I am, because if you can't talk about what epistemology is without using that term and explaining epistemology in the words of the common person, then you're never going to be able to communicate with the common person. right? I call this a philosophy podcast, but I very seldom use words like metaphysics and epistemology. And part of that is because, to an extent, I don't necessarily feel like I have a 100% firm grasp of what those words mean either. And partially it's because I just don't give a shit. And I think this is one of the big hang-ups that... Is it hang-ups? Is that the right phrase? Big problems in trying to discuss philosophy and things like that is that you have people who think they are philosophers because they use these words... And I can say this, having taken a number of philosophy classes and been to philosophy presentations and yada, yada, yada. I mean, I know all these people who have PhDs in philosophy, and they can use words like epistemology in a sentence and use it correctly, and they can explain what epistemology is. And yet these very same people cannot grasp the non-aggression principle. They cannot wrap their head around the idea that for the government to murder people is wrong. And so part of what I'm getting at here, speaking about language and speaking about the use of language in communication, is that just because people can use big words correctly, don't let that impress you. Don't think, oh, this person said the word epistemology in a sentence. Well, if that person believes that Obama can kill people in foreign countries with flying robots because of democracy, well, it must be true because that person said the word epistemology. Now, I can tell you for a fact, people with PhDs in philosophy are some of the most... They are the antithesis of morality. They are the antithesis of intelligence. Am I saying antithesis? They're the opposite. These people have no morality. This is why the one philosophy professor I've talked about quite a bit in the past, Bernard Rolin, Bernie as we call him, a brilliant guy, learned a shit ton of things from him, as I've said before, if you're around Fort Collins, if you're at CSU, I recommend taking his classes. I recommend reading his books. But the man, you know, for all the shit he talks, he supports the government murdering people. And yet he thinks he's this highfalutin moral motherfucker and that he's got shit figured out and he yada, yada, yada. He has no problem with taxation, with people being put in cages, with laws, with regulations, with the state, with corporations, with Obama murdering people. None. I mean, he's just perfectly willing to let all of this shit happen. And I'm almost certain I've talked about this before. He's the person who says hypocrisy doesn't matter. You'll hear this from people with degrees, as in college degrees, in philosophy. You will hear this from people who will tell you that hypocrisy doesn't matter. Anytime you're dealing with a human being and they tell you hypocrisy does not matter, you are dealing with a total piece of shit. You are dealing with a person who does not have and who cannot have morality. Let me explain to you why. Why hypocrisy matters? Hypocrisy matters because it doesn't matter what a person says or does. It doesn't matter what a person says or thinks. What matters is what people do. And this is the example I've used over and over and over. People who say, well, hypocrisy doesn't matter. Okay, so here's a solid example of this. Bernie does animal rights classes. He's a animal ethicist. He does a lot for animals being treated humanely in research environments and also in non-research environments like rodeos and ranches and stuff like that. He was very big in the Animal Welfare Act, which is where the government told people how to treat animals in laboratory research environments Under the threat of violence Okay, so Bernie's big thing is animal rights. And in his class, I wrote a paper in which I ripped the asshole open of this cocksucker who I don't even remember. I should find that paper. Let me put that on my list. I should find that paper and post it. If it doesn't suck. God, I've gone back and read some of my papers I wrote for philosophy classes in the past and thinking, man, that's a good paper. I could take that and make a episode of Stating the Obvious out of that and post it and shit. And then I read the paper and it's just like, oh my God, did I seriously write this shit? Whoa, man. So anyhow, if the paper's not a giant piece of shit, I might post it. Oh, by the way, today's March 31st, 2014. Thanks, Randy. I'm supposed to say that. And, all right, hold it, train of thought. Wait, yes, okay. In the paper, I talked about some cocksucker who is an animal rights wacko. And the cocksucker said that for humans to own pets is slavery. You know, it's enslaving the animals and it's morally wrong. And as I pointed out, this cocksucker on his website has a picture of him and his pet dogs. I'm like, wait. Well, I get a drink of water. Wait. Owning pets is immoral and it's slavery, yet you have pets. And I brought this up. And of course, Bernie said, well, but just because somebody is a hypocrite doesn't mean what they're saying is wrong. And this is what the people who say hypocrisy does not matter will tell you. Just because... ooh. Cute girl outside the window. Okay, the defenders of hypocrisy, this is the argument they will give you. They will say, just because a person is a hypocrite does not mean they are wrong. Okay, just because the douchebag owns dogs does not mean that he is wrong, that dog ownership is morally wrong. Another example would be, a person who, because, you know, we got to get into some white guilt and everything, right? A person like Thomas Jefferson who says, well, we shouldn't have slaves, but he owns slaves. The fact that he owns slaves doesn't mean he is wrong about slavery is incorrect. And that's the argument you're going to hear. And you're going to be impressed by that. Odds are you're going to think this makes sense. Let me explain this to you. Here's why this is all bullshit. It's because what you say and think doesn't matter. It's what you do that matters. Put it in this perspective, and you will see very quickly how this falls apart. I, the Great One himself, can stand here and say that raping women is wrong. However, I'm going to go out and rape some women. I'm going to go out and I'm going to, on the streets, I'm going to fucking attack women, push them down, hold a knife to their throat, and stick my cock inside them, and fuck them, and come inside them. And I'm going to do that to like 12 women. Then the police are going to catch me, and they're going to take me into the court, and the judge is going to say, you raped those women. I'm going to say, well, Your Honor, I mean, I know I raped women, but I believe that raping women is wrong and that it's immoral. And then the judge is going to say, oh, well, hypocrisy doesn't matter. You're right. We're going to let you go. See, whenever you say to a philosopher or a wannabe philosopher, so-and-so is a hypocrite, and they say to you, well, just because they're a hypocrite doesn't mean they're wrong, your response is, I'm not saying the person's wrong. I'm saying the person is a piece of shit morally. If I say that raping women is wrong, and then I go and rape women, well, then I am behaving in an immoral manner. The fact that I rape women and that I say raping women is wrong does not mean, it has nothing to do with the moral statement. Okay, how do I explain this where it makes sense? The defender of hypocrisy will say, yes, but Great One, just because you're raping women doesn't mean you're wrong when you say that it's morally wrong to rape women. Okay, but that's not the point. We're not questioning whether or not I'm right or wrong in my beliefs. We're questioning whether or not I'm right or wrong in my actions. If I am in fact, if in spite of my hypocrisy, I am in fact right when I say that raping women is morally wrong, that means that when I rape women, I am behaving in a way that is morally wrong. This brings us to the brilliant debate Stefan Molyneux is having with some fucking statist, who I don't remember, but it's one of my favorite debates I've ever seen Stefan do, where the topic of the debate was, is the government evil? And Stefan came, it was his turn, and Stefan came on, he said, look, killing other people is morally wrong. That is why the government forbids citizens to kill other people. The government kills other people. The government is behaving in a way which is morally wrong. Therefore, the government is immoral. And it's really that fucking simple. So yeah, Thomas Jefferson may have said that having slaves is immoral. But Thomas Jefferson had slaves. It's not a point of whether or not Thomas Jefferson is right or wrong about slavery being moral or immoral. Thomas Jefferson was an immoral motherfucker. Okay, when this cocksucker says that owning pets is slavery of animals, and then he has pet dogs, it's not a matter of whether or not he's right or wrong in his moral declarations, it's a matter of, is he right or wrong in his actions? And so the cocksuckers who defend hypocrisy will always, when you come to that point of hypocrisy, they will always try to steer the conversation towards, well, just because this person does X, doesn't mean the person is wrong in his beliefs about X. No, nobody's saying his opinions are right or wrong. We're talking about his fucking actions. And the people who defend hypocrisy are 100 fucking percent of the time people who are doing things they know to be wrong. I guarantee you, you show me somebody who defends hypocrisy, and I will show you somebody who is engaged in actions that he knows to be morally corrupt. So language. When Stefan's point today, that I'm going to come back to, is he talked about how when you're attempting, so here's a great example, right? Everything I just went through. I was attempting to convey an understanding of a concept to you, my listeners. And I thought about this because Stefan was talking about when one person is trying to communicate to one or more other people, if there is a failure in that communication, it is always the fault of the person who is communicating, not the people who are being communicated to. And of course, here on Stating the Obvious, I have very often said that I don't give a shit if anybody out there agrees with me or understands what I'm talking about or anything else. I do this purely for my own entertainment. This is my catharsis. This is me having fun. This is me throwing my opinions and my philosophies and my evolution of my political philosophies, social philosophies, economic philosophies. This is just me throwing all of this onto the internet, and if it sticks, it sticks, and if it doesn't, I don't care. And so that's why when people say to me, well, great one, you would convince more people if you didn't scream fuck you all the time, and you'd convince more people if you didn't call women cunts, and you know, you'd convince more people, yada, yada, yada. And I get all of that, and that's why every once in a while I make it a point to reemphasize that I'm not fucking doing this for you. So sometimes, however, I actually am trying to communicate. I really do want to fucking persuade or reach people out there. And that's when I talk like I'm talking today, where I'm relatively calm and try to explain things well and don't just scream out, fuck you, motherfucker, as much as I normally do. Of course, I'm screaming, fuck you, motherfucker, some, because I have to. If I don't scream, fuck you, motherfucker, you'll think that I was taken over by an alien or something. It's not me. So Stefan's point that when a person is trying to communicate, if there's a failure in communication, it's the fault of the person trying to communicate, is well taken. I'm not always trying to communicate. A lot of the times on this podcast, I'm just venting. But when I do try to communicate, I like to think I do what Stefan says. You try to break things down into a language that the common person can understand, because the utilization of words like epistemology and metaphysics and all this other shit, it reminds me of something else I want to talk about. Let me put that on my list. All of that stuff, hang on one second, I gotta check this. Oh, this is important. Alright, text message from a cute girl. I gotta deal with that. Alright, I'll try to finish this up first before texting the cute girl back. My brain hurts. Randy, where the fuck was I? Yeah. And then, okay. Yes. All right. Sometimes I'm just ranting. Sometimes I'm trying to communicate. When I try to communicate, I try to do so rationally. And I try not to obscure things with big words. And there's this ability we have. No, that's wrong. It's not an ability we have. How do I transition this? You have to communicate with the common people in a common language that they can understand, that they can grasp. At the same time, and so that means not using these obscure words, right? It's like not saying things like, well, I believe the epistemological background of the metaphysics of this situation warrant deeper, meaningful insight, right? I mean, another person who doesn't know what those words mean, first of all, the person can't argue with you because the person doesn't know what the fuck you're talking about. But second of all, neither can the person agree with you, because the person doesn't really have a deep understanding of what you're saying. And that's why you need to speak in a common language and avoid bullshit words, because if people don't know the definition of the word, if they can't truly understand exactly what you're saying, then they can neither argue with you, because not in an intellectually honest way. You can't argue with something you don't understand. It's just like with Stefan Molyneux was interviewing the Zeitgeist guy. I mean, I was listening to it. Stefan couldn't argue with him. I couldn't argue with what he was saying, because nobody could understand what the fuck he was saying. He was using these made-up... you may think I'm exaggerating this. Go watch the fucking video. Stefan Molyneux's YouTube channel. Interview, just look, search for Zeitgeist and find there's a debate he does with the Zeitgeist guy. He does two follow-up videos on it as well. But I mean, the Zeitgeist guy, and I don't remember his name, that's why I'm calling the Zeitgeist guy. He's using words that nobody's ever heard before. And when you're using words nobody else has ever heard, nobody can understand them. If nobody can understand them, nobody can either argue with you intelligently or agree with you intelligently. Because you're using words they don't fucking understand, and you're doing it out of the weakness of your own ego in an attempt to appear more intelligent, more highfalutin, more intellectual than they are. And the thing is, I do believe that I personally am more intelligent and more intellectual than 99% of the population. That's pretty fucking obvious, because I believe in the non-aggression principle and you don't. But see, the point is, in order to express that, I don't need to use big words, right? I can express the non-aggression principle as I have over and over and over. It is always wrong to initiate violence against other people. Now, if you can't understand those fucking words, then you're really goddamn stupid. I don't need to use words like epistemology and metaphysics and all this other shit and existentialism, which I actually like existentialism. I know a lot of people in anarcho-capitalist circles dislike existentialist concepts. I can't leave existentialism behind. I mean, I know it has some socialist tendencies and you know, whatever. What the fuck ever. All mainstream philosophies, even Ayn Rand, had her fucking statism and violence and socialism and everything built into what she thought. But existentialism's got a lot going for it. I really do like it. But the point is, I don't need to use those words on a regular basis to try to feel superior. I am superior because I understand and adhere to the non-aggression principle and the respect of property rights. Now, in a conversation, here's where we segue a little bit, you can also err in... You can err in the sense of dumbing things down too much. Because to speak to people in the common language is not to be dumbing things down. Not at all. Again, to explain complicated philosophical concepts to other people without using words like epistemology and metaphysics and existentialism is a lot fucking harder than explaining those concepts using those words. Because if you know what the word means, or even if you don't know what it means, if the other people don't understand what it means, you're not explaining anything, right? So taking complicated concepts like epistemology and explaining them to another person who doesn't know what epistemology means, but explaining the concept of epistemology in a way that it makes sense to that person, that's difficult. That makes you an excellent communicator. That's something that, even when I am screaming out fuck you and cunt and all this other shit, that is something I strive for in between the ranting and the raving and the waving my arms around and screaming out fuck you. And that's one of the things Stefan Molyneux does so well. That's one of the things that Ben Stone does so well. I mean, Ben Stone's ability to explain complicated is the word I'm looking for. Concepts is amazing. I mean, if you want to hear somebody who can talk about philosophy and talk about deep concepts really well and make them understandable to anyone, listen to Ben Stone's podcast. I mean, the man is a fucking genius. He is a master communicator. There's a danger in dumbing things down too much, and thus I give you the medicated generation. And I'm constantly reminded of this because I have again attempted watching some documentaries. Now, I grew up back in the day when you had to fucking walk uphill to watch television, and I watched lots of shit on PBS, especially the nature shows and the science shows. And Cosmos. Remember watching Cosmos? I got Cosmos again on DVD a few years ago. Watched it again. Carl Sagan. I'm pretty sure I've talked about this before. Carl Sagan, left wing, kind of an idiot. He thought we were going to blow ourselves up with nuclear weapons. Yada yada yada. There's things about Carl Sagan to dislike, but Cosmos was just beautiful, and Carl Sagan had a great ability to explain things. And it's a great. If you've never seen the Cosmos TV series, highly, highly recommend watching it. And right now I'm trying to watch something from Nova, PBS Nova. It's about string theory. And I'm also watching a series, what the fuck is it? After people, something, what, it's like three words. But anyway, it's what would happen if all the people on Earth disappeared, like as far as, you know, things decaying and nuclear reactors, what would happen with nobody there to maintain them and all this other stuff. So like, what would happen if, boom, everybody just, how long would buildings last? How would the buildings collapse? All this other stuff. And both of these are fairly interesting. They're also dumbed down a lot in the sense that I feel like there's too much drama added into it because it's like people can't learn by simply having information presented to them. There has to be all this drama around it. and everything, you know, and all the music in the background as the commentator's talking. And then, you know, instead of just saying the building would, that the silicon seals around the glass panels in the building would eventually give out because silicon can't last that long, and the glass panels would fall out of the building. No, it's more like this. Dun, 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 dun. And then, as the ravages of time take place, the silicon put in this building to hold the glass panels in 200 years ago by hard-working laborers would begin to give way and disintegrate. Over time, the glass would begin falling out of the building's superstructure as dangerous panels of razor-sharp glass drop from the air, causing damage to the environment around it. Can you just... Why is it shit in a documentary can't just fucking be explained? Why does everything have to be turned so fucking drama? And I think I understand the reason. I think the reason is because medicated generation. It's because no fucking attention span. And so everything has to be dumbed down and made into overly dramatic bullshit in order to keep people's attention. This, you know, funnels right back into the anarchy moment that I did a while back, talking about the white people, you know, stuff white people like, and how white people like TED conferences because it's a way for them to feel smarter without doing any actual work. White people want to be smarter, they just don't want to fucking work for it. And watching even watching a documentary for white people is fucking hard work. And so you've got to dramatize it up to keep their attention because they're just, and people, well, it's really dry. Wait, it's just, no. You know what? People who say things like, well, but standard documentaries and like textbooks from old, they're really dull and boring. No. If you're there to learn the information, it's not dull and boring at all. It's not fucking boring. If you need to be entertained, then you're not there to learn. If you can't learn without being entertained, then fuck you. Some of the biggest problems I have with so-called education in the modern day is it's edutainment. We can't educate people. We have to entertain them to keep their attention. Well, you know, you could keep their attention by educating them in some shit that's actually useful. Educating them in a way that, educating them in subjects that are meaningful and showing them how this, well, you know, math, nobody understands what they'll need math for, so we have to make the math entertaining so that they'll pay attention. Well, why don't you fucking explain to them that math is what separates humans from monkeys? Why don't you show them practical applications of math and make the point of learning math interesting to them? Because you can't do that because you're teachers, because you suck, because you're in public school, because you can't get a real fucking job. That's why you went into teaching. That, and of course, you wanted 3 months off during the summer. A slightly more extreme example of the over-dramatization, and I'm almost certain I've talked about this before also, is when I tried watching Mythbusters. I only made it through a couple of episodes because I couldn't fucking stand it. It's like, I remember one episode, and one of the guy's name, I think, is Jamie. And the other guy, I don't remember his name, so I'll call him Bob. But they were doing some stuff. It might have been the one they were going to blow up a toilet. And, you know, there's this stuff going on. They're filming behind the scenes, and it's like, yes, Bob and Jamie are in the lab working today, but Jamie is really mad at Bob because they had a spat this. And I'm like, what the fuck? Fuck is going on? Why are you talking about the fucking emotional status of two fucking stupid guys, one who is fucking bald and the other has facial hair? I don't give a fuck about their goddamn emotional fucking status. I am watching this show because I want to see some people throw a bunch of pour a bunch of cleaning chemicals into a toilet, then throw a match in it and see if it really does blow up or not. I do not give a flying fuck about these two fairies' goddamn emotional problems. What the fuck is wrong with you? This show is, I don't know how long they are, but if you just gave me the part I wanted to see, which is pouring the shit in the toilet and throwing a match in, the show would be 6 fucking minutes long, but they drag them out to whatever it is, half an hour, 45 minutes, an hour, whatever the fucking length of a Mythbusters episode is. But they dragged it out with all this fucking drama. So I don't give a flying fucking shit about Jamie's goddamn emotions. I am watching this show to see if a toilet blows up or not. That's all I give a fuck about. Why do we have to have all this fuck? And we have to have it. Because if you don't have the fucking drama, nobody will pay attention. Communifucking-cation. That brings me to theater conversations. Randy, where are we on time? Great. 10 minutes left. What do I have on the list? That might actually just about be right. Theater conversation. Having a conversation at the theater with somebody who is talking about how bad things had happened to him and he had done bad things, and he said something to the effect of, I wonder if this is karma coming back around. And now, boom, this is where we're talking about using words. Karma. I hate to break it to you, most Westerners don't actually know what the fuck the word karma means. Now, I've taken classes on Buddhism and Eastern philosophy and shit like that, and right now, right offhand, right off the top of my head, I can't tell you what karma really means. I mean, I don't mean like loosely means. I mean, I cannot explain to you the concept of karma right now off the top of my head with accuracy. Odds are you can't either. Most people think karma means what you do coming back around to come back upon you. And all the Eastern philosophy shit I studied, that is not what the fuck karma means. The other interesting thing about stupid fucking Westerners who think they're intelligent because they quote Eastern philosophy is when they tell me that reincarnation means that, okay, I'm alive and I do things in this life, and then when I die, I reincarnate and I come back as something else based on what I did in this life. Now, see, the problem with that is that in Eastern philosophy, one of the things which is taught is that you can never extract the same drop of water from a river more than once. So a river is going over a waterfall, and as the water goes over the waterfall, a tiny droplet of water comes off of the river, and it falls down. And so that's the analogy here, is that that is your life. That's you. That's you right now. You're that drop of water you have separated from whatever it was there before you were born. That's the water going over the waterfall. Okay, so the water in the river at the top of the waterfall, that's before you were born. The water goes over the waterfall, this droplet comes off, that's you. That's the unique individual you that's alive on Earth right now. And I'm like making motions in the air as if you can see me. That's fantastic. So the water is going down, and the water droplet, it's falling and it's falling and it's falling, and then down at the bottom, the droplet lands back into the river. That's your death. That's when what you are goes back into the everything or the nothing, the cosmos, the consciousness, whatever you want to call it. And the Buddhist saying is that you can never extract the same drop from the river again. So even if that river goes over another waterfall, that very same droplet of water can never be recreated, because when it went back into the river, it dispersed and it can never be brought back together. Now, of course, if that's true, that means karma, in the sense that stupid Westerners try to pretend they understand it, can't happen, because when I die, when I reincarnate, for me to reincarnate as a lesser or greater animal based on my karma is impossible, because I can never exist again. stupid Westerners who talk about reincarnation don't understand that in Eastern philosophy, reincarnation doesn't really work because you can never get the same, what do you want to call it, soul? Do you want to call it consciousness? Do you want to call it spirit? Do you want to call it the ghost? Whatever you want to call the you that would amass karma, that you as in Y-O-U, that you can never again be recreated. So the idea that karma can follow a specific entity throughout reincarnations is completely fucking impossible according to Eastern thought, because the specific quote-unquote you does not reincarnate and keep going around and around and around. But stupid fucking Westerners say words like karma in order to try to appear impressive. Just like philosophy majors use words like epistemology in order to try to impress stupid people and make them think they're smarter. So anyhow, this person says to me, how are we on time, Randy? Thank you. This stupid person says, I shouldn't call him a stupid person. He's actually a really interesting guy. I can have conversations with him that I can't normally have with the usual sheep. We disagree on a lot of shit, but still, he has really good observations, and we can talk about goddamn near anything, and he's pretty reasonable, so I shouldn't call him a stupid motherfucker. That's wrong. I just can't help it. It's just the way I am. It's my shtick. All right, anyway, he said something about karma following him, and I brought up, of course, I always have to bring up Babylon 5 in every conversation because it's awesome. Just started rewatching Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I think I mentioned that. And American Horror Story, just started that. We'll talk about that in the future. Oh, God. I'm going to try one more disc and see how it goes, but I don't know. All right, anyway, I talked about the quote from Babylon 5 where the conversation was like this. Person A says, do you think that we get everything we deserve? Do you think everything that happens to us in life is something that we deserve? And the other person says, well, yeah, I do, because believing that everything I get is what I deserve is a lot better than believing that everything I get is stuff I don't deserve. And the person I was having my conversation with said, yeah, well, that sounds like stupid Western attempts at philosophy. And that made me think about how so many people in the Western world, because again, he attempted to explain why bad things were happening to him by using the word karma, which nobody, including him, actually fucking understands. I just made an attempt at explaining why bad things might happen, that maybe the bad things are deserved as opposed to undeserved, and maybe simply having the attitude that you deserve what you get is a better way to go through life than having the attitude of thinking you get things you don't deserve. I used words that everybody out there can fucking understand. And somehow or another in our culture, we've been taught, and God, I can't figure out where this came from, self-loathing. Look at all the self-loathing that people in the United States of America have over slavery. I notice there's not much self-loathing over exterminating the Indians, or not much, well, I mean, there's a little bit, but there's not much self-loathing over the Tuskegee experiment, not much self-loathing over the sterilization of all those black people and retarded people, not much self-loathing over putting Japanese people in concentration camps, not much self-loathing over medical experiments on American soldiers, not much self-loathing over killing people in foreign countries with flying robots, not much self-loathing over income tax and welfare dependencies, not much self-loathing over the destruction of Detroit by the state. You know, so I could go on for hours, you know that. There's this self-loathing that has been foisted upon people in the United States for any kind of Western philosophy. And there's this desire to embrace Eastern philosophy because, oh, they're just so much smarter. When in fact, it's mostly just a matter of they have a bunch of words in Eastern philosophy that in Western philosophy, nobody actually understands what they mean. Now, this is not to rip on Eastern philosophy. As I've said, I've studied Eastern philosophy formally. I've read books. I've got, one of these days, I got to finish this. I'm reading The Importance of Living by Lin Yutan. I'm probably pronouncing that name incorrectly. Y-U-T-A-N-G. And it's, you know, it's brilliant, it's fascinating, it's interesting, especially where he's talking about how smoking tobacco is important and a good thing and makes you mentally healthy. And I'm like, yeah, so where, you know, Eastern people in the West who read Eastern philosophy and think it's all that are probably going to reject that idea. So I'm not knocking Eastern philosophy. I believe Eastern philosophy has just as much to offer as Western philosophy. I'm saying don't be saying, well, that's just made up Western philosophy. Well, guess what? Eastern philosophy is just made up Eastern philosophy. And just because you use words like karma or dharma, that doesn't mean you actually understand what the fuck those things mean. Last thought I'm going to leave you with, because this worked out perfectly, because this doesn't need a lot of discussion. I was thinking today, it's that time, April 15th is coming along, we got to pay our income taxes. Yet again, let me just throw this out there for you people. If only 10% of the people in the United States would refuse to pay their income taxes, we could shut things down. And think about this for a minute. If 10% of the people refused to pay their income taxes, if you can refuse to pay your income taxes, that means you are one of the less than 50% of the people in the country who are not parasites. That means you are one of the less than 50% of the people who actually make this country work, who generate economic activity and accomplish things. So if 10% of us did not pay our taxes, that would mean that 20%, if not more, of all the people in the country who actually produce things, because all the production in the United States is done by less than 50% of the population. So 10% of all, you know, if 10% of everybody in the country didn't pay taxes, that's 20% of all the producers. If 20% of all the people in this country who actually produce value, create value, who get shit done, stopped paying taxes, what the fuck would they do? Are they going to take 20% of the people that make shit happen and put them in jail? Of course not. Who's going to take their fucking place? I mean, if they took 20% of the people who actually produce shit and put them in cages, do you think shit tons of people would rise from the ranks of welfare and take those jobs producing things? No, of course not. Because if those people could produce shit, they wouldn't be on fucking welfare to begin with. Come on, people. Get your shit together.